Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Your Valley Sports Plug. This is our 2025 Super Bowl 59 preview. It's the big game, baby. We are 5 days away from the Super Bowl, February 9th, 2024. And we just got to break it all down. We got a lot to talk about leading up to the big day. You know, got to see how we got here, some storylines. Can't leave out some props and parlays. You know, we got the betting man himself, Mr. VSP Tallman. Might also get a sneak preview into the Tallman ticket and Nico's nice Nets. Hard to say anything could happen, but we're here to have some fun, guys. I am your host, Chris Patrick, joined today by a slew of guests, as you can see if you're watching on YouTube. We got, of course, Mr. Michael Benjamin and VSP Tallman, also host of Valley of the Suplex, Nico, and our favorite special guest, Mr. T Jr. Boys, what is going on?
Gentlemen. I think Matt has the perfect header. RIP football. This is the greatest and worst time of the football season because there's only one more game. But I will say, this is my favorite time because this is normally the only time where I'm placing bets. So, Tallman, I'm looking to you. I need your guidance this year, man.
Oh, fellas, don't get too excited. I think last year was pretty tough in the betting department, but we're going to cook some stuff up. Absolutely. But how you guys doing?
I'm ready to watch Pat Mahomes win another Super Bowl. Yay. Nah, I want to see Saquon win a ring. But I'm curious to see. I think I know where Nico's allegiance is leaning towards. But I'm curious to see what you guys have to say. I know everybody's kind of a Pat Mahomes hater right now. So we'll see if they can stop the big bad empire.
Listen, boys, the Chiefs are in their heel era. I'm doing what any good football fan should be doing, and it's supporting the babyface in this endeavor. That is the Philadelphia Eagles. Also, we love to see drama win one, so got a rep for the boy.
There it is. We're pulling for drama on this one. Nico, I love that jersey, though, man.
I was going to say.
The captain, the beautiful gold C with the Super Bowl 57 logo from Arizona. So you're still repping AZ to a certain extent. But Chris, I'm like everybody else, man. I'm ready to go. How about you?
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, Nico, I find it hard to consider the Eagles a babyface. Honestly, this seems like choosing between the lesser of two evils. Of course, Kansas City is embroiled in this referee controversy where they're constantly getting calls, no calls. They're throwing flags and picking them up just in case. Eagles have the tush push. Running all over everybody. I mean, fair. If you look at it, one is more egregious than the other. One team is playing within the rules. The other has the officials on their side. But we'll get into all that. Plenty of time to talk about it. Real quick, first, before we do that, got to make sure to let you know to like and subscribe right here on our YouTube page where we are streaming this live. We will go live every Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. Arizona time. You can find us here, join us live, hop in the chat and comment with us. Maybe have your chat thrown up in the screen and be a part of the conversation. Of course, you can always listen on the playback across all podcasting platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Those are always the only two I name. I should probably do some more research on where people are listening to podcasts. But fellas, also make sure you head over to our other socials at AZ_VSP on Instagram, TikTok, X, Threads, anywhere that you can find Valley Sports Plug. We're probably going to be there. So check us out. Give us a follow. But boys, Super Bowl 59, like I said, 5 days away. It's the Chiefs and the Eagles, the rematch of Super Bowl 47 that we saw 2 years ago. That game ended. Oh, what was it? I wrote it down here. 38-35 Chiefs. Chiefs squeaked out the win, got their first of this three-peat they're going for. I personally have mixed feelings about dynasties. I mean, it's always easy to appreciate greatness, but when it's not your team being great, find it kind of hard to get behind it. We talk a lot about Chiefs fatigue. In the NBA side, we felt a lot of that with the Golden State Warriors and I know back in the day, you can go even further back. I'm sure there was a lot of Yankee fatigue when they were winning nonstop. So I guess I just want to kind of start there and kick this to you guys. Are any of you starting to get Chiefs fatigue, or is that a kind of a rhetorical question?
Oh, can I jump in here? I'm absolutely getting Chiefs fatigue, guys. I'm getting the NBA shadows of the Golden State Warriors versus Cleveland Cavaliers for five straight seasons. I mean, hey, at the end of the day, it's almost exactly like what Josh Allen said. To be the best, you got to beat the best. So these teams, man. They got to get over the hump. And, man, we know the best in the AFC right behind Patrick Mahomes are Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen with the Baltimore Ravens and the Buffalo Bills. And somehow the Chiefs still continue to get it done. The three-headed monster, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Andy Reid continue to rise. They are the cream of the crop. So until somebody dethrones them, we're going to be sitting here with this same feeling. So you can feel some type of way, but you got to get it done at the end of the day.
Yeah, the fatigue is real. But, I mean, you said it perfectly, Mike. You know, you got to beat the best, right, to be the best. And you could argue right now that the Eagles and the Chiefs are playing the best football right now. And you could also argue that the two best teams currently this season are playing in the Super Bowl. And I don't know. That was an entertaining game back in Super Bowl 57. So the rematch should be interesting. I'm thinking a high scoring game, very high scoring game. But I mean, the Chiefs had to take down the Bills, where I think we're all in agreement that we were rooting for Buffalo during that AFC championship game. I mean, I know I was, because I'm sick of seeing Patrick Mahomes. I wanted to see Josh Allen get to the big game finally. And then even on the other side with the Eagles, I mean, the Eagles have made two Super Bowls in the last 3 years. And for some reason, everybody wanted to fire their head coach. But on the other side, I was rooting for our boy Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury to just have a miracle and then see them meet up. But again, I'm upset that it's the same old faces, the usual suspects, but it's going to be entertaining still.
Oh, wait, hold on a second before somebody else goes. Did Tallman just say what everybody heard? Like, he wanted Cliff Kingsbury to go to the Super Bowl in his first foray back into the NFL after leaving the Arizona Cardinals in a disaster zone? Excuse me?
I don't know if he was fully to blame for that. There was somebody else that likes to drink and drive that had a hand in that cookie jar. Yeah.
But that's like rooting for Steve Kerr after he ruined the Sun.
Yeah, what?
I mean, come on. So after the Commanders beat the Lions, because the Lions was who I wanted to see make it. So then after that, there's only four teams left. You know, it's either the Eagles or the Commanders. What's a more fun story? Seeing the first rookie quarterback, lead their team to a Super Bowl appearance. And, I mean, there's a lot of ties to the Valley, too, with that team. So I'm not saying I was, you know, crying my eyes out when the Commanders lost, got 55 put on them by the Eagles. But, I mean, come on. That would have been a cool storyline.
Yeah, but do you want to watch a Super Bowl where it's an absolute blowout? And by, like, the third quarter? I mean, I know we had that once where it was a 27-3 game or whatever, and we saw history happen. But it's you can't argue when at the end of the year, it's like you were saying, the two best teams are playing. Like, yeah, it's a great story and stuff. But, dude, that was very telling to see what the Eagles did that game and just put 50-plus on them. So I'm happy to make it a good game. I don't want it to be some shitty game where it's just like, don't even have to pay attention. Because realistically, if it was Washington, like, we all know it's going to happen. Like, I'm pretty certain. With this game, who knows? The tush push could do something. But during the regular season, Kansas City won four games by a field goal or less. And I think two of them were at the beginning of the year was to the Raiders and Raiders and Chargers. So I don't know. I don't want to see Pat Mahomes. It's like Tom Brady all over again, or like people like Chris was saying before, like in the early 2000s with the Yankees, or even the 5 years of Steph. And it was just like, why even play the regular season? But we have a chance to see history. Three-peat would be cool. I think that would be something cool to witness. I don't know how many others are going to do it, but my big question is, where does it put Andy Reid? Does Andy Reid start to become in the talks of like a great coach? Is he riding Pat Mahomes, or is it Pat Mahomes riding him, or a Sith? Yeah, I don't know. So I'm happy it's not going to be some blowout game. I say that, knock on wood, watch it be a blowout. We come back and everybody marks my words, but we'll see.
Well, he's got to be riding Andy Reid, because Andy Reid is a large individual. So
he's got big legs, though. Patty's got some big legs.
Fumble Rooski.
Let me get some nuggies.
Honestly, like, how do you not have Chiefs fatigue at this point? Like, I love Andy Reid. And I think when it's all said and done, like, it's going to be a conversation between Bill Belichick and Andy Reid as greatest coach of all time. just given what Andy's done in Philly and in KC. I think Belichick takes it just based on rings alone, but that's a whole different can of worms that we can get into at a different time. I think you guys have all kind of hit it on the head. Everybody was definitely bummed when we got a repeat performance. For me, though, I don't know, the way that the media talked about Nick Sirianni this year, and like having coaches, like as Cardinals fans, like having coaches that are completely incompetent. And I like some of our coaches, I don't even know how they put food in their own mouth. Like, I don't know how they manage to get the fork into the meal and then get the meal off of the plate and then the fork back into the, I don't know how it was done. So to watch like Sirianni, like coach a gem of a season, and then for the media to just basically call him a big dumb dipshit all the time. Like, it's, you know, it's fucking, it's crazy. It's got me pulling for the Eagles. That, and it really is just kind of, it is a big fuck the Chiefs right now. It's so unbearably overwhelming to see this. I mean, like, you think back and you're like, man, the Chiefs have been in the Super Bowl since like fucking pandemic, man. Like, this is crazy. Like, we're done with it. So,
yeah, I'd like to see, you know, something change next year. Maybe Chiefs not getting there. I think it's interesting, like, with the Chiefs, they are very unlikable, but at the same time, like, if we're talking about Andy Reid, there's not really any reason to hate that guy. Like, he never really says anything controversial, seems pretty level-headed on the sideline, doesn't have outbursts, nothing too controversial going on with Andy Reid. I think someone asked him in the media day yesterday or today what his favorite 3-peat is, and he said the Bible, which I don't know if that makes sense. I don't know if the Bible was a 3-peat, but hey, gotta love the non-answer. It's creative. But guys, to get to where we are now in the Super Bowl matchup we have to go back a little bit and see how these teams got there. During the regular season, the Chiefs had a 15-2 record. Eagles with a 14-3 record. So combined, these teams are 29-5. So it's very possible that this is a matchup of the two best teams in the NFL right now. So for that much, I think we can all be a little excited. And the prospect of having a high-scoring game, a repeat of Super Bowl 57. But like I said, let's look at these the road to get here, and not too far back, just to the conference championships game. I don't want to break down the whole Chiefs season or anything. But we'll start with the early game that happened 2 weeks ago, and that was the NFC Championship. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see the graphic we have here. The Philadelphia Eagles absolutely walloped the Washington Commanders, 55-23. Wasn't even close. Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley combined for 6 rushing touchdowns. I think 3 of those were tush pushes. All 3 of Hurts' touchdowns, I'm pretty sure, were tush pushes. Could be wrong. Maybe only 2 of them were. Regardless, we also had the ridiculous controversy in that game where dude kept jumping over the line trying to stop the tush push. The refs almost awarded the Eagles a touchdown. But at that point in the game, it wasn't going to change the outcome or anything. So I think that kind of went by the wayside. But what stood out to you guys as far as like how impressive of a victory that was in such a high stakes game?
Well, we watched Detroit throttle everybody all year long, and then Washington came in Detroit in a raucous environment and absolutely, like, I mean, kind of frustrated and frazzled it what seemed to be like an unfrustratable team. It didn't matter how many injuries that the Lions occurred all year long. Dan Campbell was nibbling kneecaps. It did not matter. You know, the Commanders came in and they were, it was impressive. It was an impressive performance by Kingsbury and that offensive side of the ball. It was a fantastic job by Bobby Wagner and Dan Quinn calling a great defensive game. Like, they looked really, really good going into this NFC Championship game. So for the Eagles to just, I mean, Madden like number drop on them, 55-23 is what you do when you like quit in the third quarter because some 12-year-old's just running it down your throat. Like, 55-23 is not what you expect to see between two of the best teams in a division. So, yeah, I mean, for the Eagles to come out and absolutely just dominate, I think that's very telling. And I think it does slight glimmer of hope that maybe it won't be going to Kansas City, Missouri this year.
That score looks like they just turned on rookie mode. Like they just went to like set difficulty for the franchise and was just like rookie and they were just cooking. No, it gives me a lot of hope that the game's going to go towards Philadelphia. And I, like we said earlier, and I know Mike touched on it, I hope Jama gets one. He needs it. I hope it happens. I want Saquon to get a ring and I want New York fans to cry and go back and watch that, whatever the hell video it was where the GM paid fucking Daniel Jones 30 plus million and let Saquon go and set a record. But man, watching that Buffalo game, dude, and seeing Josh Allen afterwards, like do the press conference and take the deep breath. That was hard. And it was tough because it looked so good. It was such a good game. He played such a great year. And for it to come down to that, it feels like that. It just like he sees the writing on the walls is what it felt like, where he just like sat there in the press conference. It was like, God damn it. Again. Like we did it, we got all the way here and it happened, whether it was one or two plays, but that was tough to watch. I was really hoping that Buffalo would win, which is disgusting for me to say because I really don't like Buffalo. Their fans are awesome. Bills Mafia, great, great things that they do, but that sucked, dude. So, but I think we're going to see some tush pushes. I think Saquon's going to go off. Hopefully that game against Washington just lets them roll. But I know the bye week with them doing the press conferences and everything, it might make them a little rusty, but man, it's hard to argue when they put 50 plus on a team like Washington.
No, Tommy, you go for it.
Buddy. Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. Excuse me. Well, starting with that Eagles Commanders game, I mean, that was a statement, right? And then the Eagles set the tone right from the get-go. I mean, didn't Saquon Barkley rip off a 60-yard touchdown to start the game for them? And then the Commanders, they were manufacturing long drives, right? But they weren't pushing the ball down the field. They weren't making those big plays like the Eagles were, and they just couldn't keep up. I mean, if you look at what Jaden Daniels' numbers, I mean, he didn't play a terrible game. He didn't play a spectacular game. But, I mean, they just got absolutely destroyed. Their defense did by the running game of the Eagles. And, I mean, it was like that Cliff Kingsbury offense that some of us are very familiar with, where it's like we're going for first downs. We're going for first downs. You know, the one – I think McLaurin had a long pass play, but outside of that, it was like where were, you know, the explosive plays from that offense that towards the second half of the season the Commanders were doing – very often in all their games. But man, I mean, just disheartening because to end that game, you have their, I think like their third string running back. The white kid was just running all over him. I think he scored.
Will Shipley.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
White kid. That's when you know they're down bad. Well, you got a white kid at running back. It's over. Season's done.
That's not what.
Well, they also have the white quarterback in Cooper DeJean. So,
well, he's a stud. He was who I wanted the Cardinals to get in the second round.
God bless that kid.
Their top and their defense, the Eagles defense, I mean, they're top three statistically throughout the season. I mean, they have a great, great defense. And it comes from those two rookie cornerbacks that they drafted in where, I mean, I was hoping that we were going to scoop one of them. And I think the Eagles picked them back to back in the second round, which was just an incredible draft from the Eagles, which has just catapulted them on just a comeback tear this season. But I mean, it's that two-headed monster of Hurts and Barkley. And then in this game, you saw Hurts throw the ball more where, you know, in the divisional round, you saw the memes where it was Jalen Hurts in a suit. And it's like, oh, my team carrying me to another NFC championship game because he didn't do anything but tush-push the ball into the end zone. But no, that was a statement. That was one of those games where, you know, it's just you hope for a more competitive game, but thankfully you got that in a later game with just a classic Bills-Chiefs playoff game, which that was a fun game to watch, and it was disheartening to see Josh Allen fail again in the postseason against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
No, you guys are spot on. I mean, for the Eagles, it feels like they play smarter and not harder. I mean, why do more than you have to? Keep it simple. Put the ball on the ground with your incredible athletes and let them do their work. Like you said, that 60-yard rush to start the game by Saquon Barkley, I was driving to go watch the game with some buddies and literally pull out the driveway, and it was like, oh, Eagles first drive. Oh, they scored already. What the fuck happened? Like, it's absolutely crazy. And I mean, honestly, the game was pretty good for three quarters. Going into the fourth quarter, it was just an 11-point lead for the Eagles. And you're thinking, okay, it's a two-score game. Maybe there's a chance if the defense can step up here, but it wasn't happening. Like, they have a 5-play 51-yard drive. Hurts rushes it in. 4 plays 31-yard drive. Saquon rushes it in. And then they're like, all right, we're done. That's all you needed. Because now at that point, you're up 4 scores with 8 minutes still left in the game. And for a game to be over with 8 minutes left in a conference championship game, I don't think you see that very often. I mean, obviously, people remember the Super Bowl winners. Rarely do they, most casuals, even remember who the opponent was. And that's just, you know, how it goes. But man, I think it would have been very interesting for the Commanders to make it. Would have been quite the Cinderella story. But for a lot of selfish Valley Tide really reasons, I'm kind of glad that they didn't. Although I'm not one of the people that's going to root against Jaden Daniels, former ASU player, went and found success, became a Heisman. He can't hate on him for seeking greener pastures, especially when he was there during the era of Herm Edwards absolutely fucking the Sun Devils organization, as well as their super incompetent athletic director. I forget what his name was, Ray something or other.
Anderson, right?
Ray Anderson. There you go. But that's another conversation for another stream. I totally agree. I think the entire world was pulling for the Bills to win that. I think just a small portion of Kansas City was actually probably all of Kansas City was wanting the Chiefs to win that one. But man, I mean, just a tough break. You get that Harrison Butker field goal with 3.5 minutes left. So the Bills still have a chance. They get the ball back. They need a touchdown. Worst case, a field goal. And they just kind of sputtered out. And that makes me wonder, like, watching that game, I really couldn't tell if the Bills were just playing really bad offensively or if the Chiefs had just stepped up that much on defense. I mean, it was a close game at the end of the day, so both teams were playing their heart out, but it was a tough way to end it. And of course, the controversy where the pass is thrown to, what was it, Dalton Kincaid? Little bit of contact on the play. There was a flag thrown and then picked up. But I mean, you at the end of the day, if you're looking at it objectively, you shouldn't have to rely on a big play like that at the end of the game to keep you in it. You should be doing well enough throughout the game to where that's not even a problem. But that's the crux of close games, I suppose.
And I think the other thing, I don't know how you guys feel, but it's always bittersweet coming down to the end of the season, right? You see the writing on the wall that another year of NFL football is going to end right in front of your eyes. But that conference championship day, man, honestly, was probably I enjoyed it the most probably in the last 5 years, guys. And even with a blowout, which going into that game, man, I was kind of up in the air, especially after the Commanders just drubbing and shocking the hell out of the world in that Detroit Lions beatdown, man. I mean, Jaden Daniels is going to be a surefire rookie of the year. His career just seems right on the up and up, right out of the gate. But I will say it was a great weekend because they lost, right? I mean, 7 rushing touchdowns for the Eagles. They also got AJ Brown involved, who, you know, after the first 2 games only had 3 total catches for 24 yards. He was a beast. It was great tight end play from Dallas Goedert as well, with 7 catches for 85 yards. But the tail of the tape is always turnovers, right? 4 total turnovers for the Commanders comparative to 0 for the Eagles. I mean, it was 27-15, and it didn't even feel that close. So the second half was a little bit of a droll, but man, yeah, seeing Will Shipley come in and have those big dashes was awesome to see. But yeah, it was perfectly bookended with another Chiefs-Bills classic. But guys, 4th time since January of 2021 where the Chiefs have ended the Bills season in the postseason. I mean, what do you know? Mahomes does it again. 4 consecutive passes leading to the go-ahead field goal with 3:33 left. The tush pushes come back into play. There's obviously the controversies of did Josh Allen get that first down? And then it comes down to that 4th down with, you know, less than 2 minutes to go. And they've had that design. I don't know if you guys have done any kind of tape rewatch of that last play, but That exact play was designed to go to Khalil Shakir in a design motion, basically to come behind Josh Allen and then go back, thinking that he has time. But here goes Steve Spagnuolo, you know, dialing up the crazy blitz that nobody expects, and Josh Allen has to make the hero throw. But I felt so bad for the guy. I felt so bad for the kid at the end of the day, because this was possibly his best chance to get to the dance. And I don't know about you guys, but I didn't think that to start the season. I thought this Buffalo Bills team was going to be kind of in reverse, trying to figure things out and pick up the pieces. But that just speaks to how great Josh Allen is. And it sucks that we got robbed of not being able to see him in the Super Bowl. But no, that's not true. But what a hell of a weekend it was. And now we're here.
Hey, and I'm not mad about it. I mean, we got one more football game for this season. Not going to be able to watch football again until, like, what, the end of August, September, right around then. So gotta embrace it. Gotta appreciate it as much as you can. And, hey, it's a good reason to party and drink. Am I right? So Super Bowl's all set up. We got the championship games played. We know the matchup. Now let's talk about some storylines, some headlines that are being brought up through media day and kind of throughout the whole season. Obviously, we've touched on some of them, the possibility of a three-peat. Don't want to talk about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce too much, although I think it's inevitable that it's going to come up. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, I think you were telling me this, that Taylor Swift had asked the NFL and the media to not show her as much during the broadcast because she didn't want to take away from the field on the product. She wanted the focus to be on the players and the team. So that much is respectable if that's true.
It's all about the players. It's not about the superstars, Chris. There are superstars on the field that need to get their due. No, I'm sure. I mean, the past 3 years for Taylor Swift have been crazy being in the limelight. So I'm sure she was okay with taking a step back, but it's inevitable.
Yeah, and I actually just remembered one storyline. I'm going to save it for a little bit, though. But first, because we've already touched on it a little bit, I want to talk about the controversy, the big not-so-elephant in the room, the Chiefs getting special treatment from the officials. You see here from the Associated Press, Roger Goodell says perception that officials favor the Chiefs is a ridiculous theory. I wonder, guys, what is ridiculous about it? Are our eyes lying to us in what we're seeing, where these flags seem to always go their way? There's some crazy stat I should have done a little bit of research on, but it's some disproportionate amount of times that Patrick Mahomes throws an interception, there's a PI call. And the question is that favoritism from the officials, or is that Pat Mahomes being smart and recognizing that there's contact on the play or could be contact on the play and throwing it down there anyway? It's almost like when you get a free play on an offsides call. I don't know. I want to know what you guys think.
I mean, I feel like I've been pretty big on the NFL is not scripted angle. It's really hard when you saw some of the flags and non-flags in this game to kind of back that angle. There's a problem. I don't know where it is. I don't know if it's in shit refereeing, if it's in how rules are written. I don't know where the problem is, but there's like a definite problem. And like, if Goodell thinks that he's like in the clear, he's good. He's vastly mistaken, because the fan base will just stop watching. Like, people will, if a product turns to shit, like, people will eventually walk away from it. So I don't know. I still think that it's tough to think that the entire league is scripted, but like, I do think that they favor the Chiefs. I think that they protect Pat. Like, this goes back to Brady, right? All those years where, like, we were throwing flags for fucking sneezing on Tom Brady. That's where this all stems from. You're protecting the shield. You're protecting the league's most valuable asset, and that is, at this point in time, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, Mahomes is the new Brady, right? You don't see Lamar Jackson get those calls. I mean, going back to when Brady was still around, one guy, Cam Newton, got his ass beat all the time. He didn't get any of those calls. But, I mean, it's just inevitable. I mean, as the joke goes, Goodell has the script, and it's been written since the summer. But it's one of those things where, I mean, all these people, saying that the NFL is scripted. Everyone's still watching it. I mean, I could sit here and think it's 100% scripted, but I'm still going to watch this shit. But I don't know. I mean, of course, Goodell's going to come out and say this. I mean, it's a damn coincidence with all these close calls. And I mean, Mahomes is basically just flag hunting out there. He's doing these late slides. He's getting all the flags, all the calls where, you know, maybe they're going to use this because it was huge in the media. Just kind of criticizing all the flags and all the huge penalties that the Chiefs were getting. But of course he's going to come out and say that it's a ridiculous theory. You had the NFL Referees Association call it insulting. And their whole statement basically detailed there's 138 officials, 17 different officiating crews. One crew can't officiate more than two games for one single team. So it's insulting to them that all 138 officials would come together and be in agreement to throw flags in favor of one team, that one team being the Chiefs. So, but hey, it's conspiracy theories are fun though, right? And it sounds like a damn good one.
I mean, but if you look statistically, this is Pat Mahomes' worst season. Like, I'd have a problem with it, but this motherfucker's been doing it out the gate. What, the second or his first year starting was like 50 touchdown passes? So, like, but I do. I think they just need to make playing defense fucking easier. Like, they fucking baby these wide receivers. And like Tallman was saying, I hate saying that because it's my last name. But like, they've been there. Like, they know what to do. Like, they know they can do this little fake slide thing and run until, like, I hope somebody knocks Pat Mahomes the fuck out when he does the fake slide thing so that they really change the rule. Because they will once he goes to sleep. But, and it's not Trevor fucking Lawrence and Sunshine from fucking Remember the Titans. But it makes me mad. But I am in agreeance with, like, the referees. It's hard. It would be hard to get all 200 or whatever, 150 plus to do it or whatever the case. I think they just need to make playing defense easier. So defensive backs might be able to put a hand on somebody, like one little fucking, it's like not NBA, like not going up for a shot and getting a foul call. Like, let them play ball, you know, like let's figure out ways to make the rules to where we're not making offense so easy to where if I bomb it down the field and I know that it's going to create contact because the defensive back or they're going to run into each other and dude's going to throw a flag every freaking time, left, center, and right. They just need to fix that. They need to take that sort of, even if it's the 15-yard thing, I don't like that. Like, they need to figure out a way to where they can make defensive backs and defensive players able to play physical defense and these quarterbacks can't milk the game and throw their hands up like Tom Brady and shit did every single time. Like, why didn't I get a call? Like, let's stop it. Let's figure out a way to change the game to make it more fun and easier for defensive players to play defense. That's it. Fuck Chiefs.
Well, Matt, you mentioned this being statistically possibly Patrick Mahomes' worst season, but I think that's almost a counter argument because if he's having a real bad season, then he needs even more help from the officials.
But I mean, the games were close, really close games too.
You're still making the point that it could be a conspiracy that he needed the help from the refs to win those close games. I mean, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I honestly, you know, based off what Tallman was saying about the officiating crews and this and that, it makes sense. And I think they have those safeguards in place for this very reason. But I don't think it's a stretch to think that it's possible that some officials are corrupted, because we've seen it throughout history when sports betting is involved. And you know how much harder it was to bet on sports 20, 30 years ago? Now, all you need is an iPhone in a state where it's legal and you can bet. I mean, I literally just saw an article today where an MLB umpire is banned for life or something because he shared a betting account with his buddy who was betting on baseball. So it's good when those type of situations are exposed and disciplined and taken care of. But I don't think it's too crazy that, you know, how are they going to investigate if dude Zell's his buddy $1,000 for helping him build a fence, but he's actually texting him on the side like, yo, put this on the Chiefs to win. I know what's going to happen. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't think that part is too far-fetched. And I mean, I mentioned like what we see with our eyes. Obviously, the flags can be frustrating, but I mean, you go, you watch any of the, what is it, 15, 16 games on any given Sunday, and you're going to find some sketchy calls. These refs are human at the end of the day, and they're going to make errors. It just, it gets to be a little suspicious for me when a lot of those errors seem to go in the Chiefs' favor. And you guys mentioned like the Tom Brady's and the Patrick Mahomes getting the special treatment. I do think the fake slide thing, it has been addressed a little bit. I'm not 100% sure on that. But another funny one is when they're 10, 15 yards past the line of scrimmage, throwing a pump fake, like they're going to throw it downfield and they keep running. I don't have too much problem with that. It's just like, if they do leave themselves susceptible and then they get hit, then they just got to eat that. You made that decision. That's a business decision. I mean, we saw one of the plays where Mahomes slid at the last minute. Two of the defensive players rammed heads against each other, and they still got called roughing the passer call or whatever. So, or unnecessary roughness. So that type of shit just makes me kind of scratch my head a little bit. So, I mean, I don't think there's a script. I don't think Goodell is, you know, sending out a memo to all the teams saying, hey, this is what's going to happen. But I don't think it's beyond reason to think that some of these officials could be corrupted. And that's about as far as I'll go with the theory.
The other crazy thing to think about, gentlemen, is, you know, living within the age of social media now, everybody becomes the armchair quarterback the day after. Everybody's been able to dissect the tape and take a look at it. I mean, damn, I was on X, you know, 10 hours after the AFC Championship game, and there's a feed of somebody that has 10 beyond bad calls made in favor of the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'm like, it can happen any single day. I mean, like, maybe that'll be something I task for VSP Tallman next year when the Cardinals lose a nail biter that they should have won. I'm going to say, go through all the tape, get me 10 plays that could have went towards the Cardinals. I'm a conspiracy theorist. I love it. I really do. The way that the Kansas City Chiefs won some of these one score games this year was just really, it was kind of icky, I guess, for lack of a better term. You know, good teams find ways to win, but the amount of ways that they really did win this season, I think, Matt, you know, talked about that psycho field goal block against Denver. I mean, like, how do those kind of things continuously happen for the Kansas City Chiefs? But yeah, I mean, you talked about the down year of Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he has to work with Kareem Hunt as his lead back the entire year. You know, Travis Kelce is not the same player. His main weapons, guys, are ex-Cardinals, Hollywood Brown and DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, D-Hop didn't even come until half of the season. And Hollywood Brown was hurt for the first half of the season as well. I will reference both Tallman and Nico here. Tallman, I really think it is just poor refereeing. It follows the game. It follows sports, man. It is in every level. It doesn't matter. You can talk about adult league refs, man. They're all, to a certain extent, they're all going to make mistakes. It's just the years of social media have really been able to pinpoint these egregious mistakes more than we have seen in the past. You know, talk specifically about that third down and three where it really looks like Dalton Kincaid is in the air, his knee doesn't go down, and the ball hits the ground on the first down marker. I mean, how is that not called? And then Josh Allen seems to clearly be passed and that isn't overturned. You know, so those are some of the head scratchers. But I'll go back to the conspiracy theorist, and Nico called it. Patrick Mahomes is the golden goose, man. They're going to keep him rolling as long as they can. How about that?
So I guess that's a good point to bring up another debate I saw. I couldn't find the article real quick, but I did want to talk about it, because when we talk about dynasties and legacies, I think at this point there's no denying that this is a Chiefs dynasty right now that we're experiencing. But Patrick Mahomes also starting to be thrown in the conversation of greatest quarterback of all time. You know, when they played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it was the GOAT versus the baby GOAT. There's something that Patrick Mahomes has the chance to do on Sunday that Tom Brady never did, and that is win three straight Super Bowls. Now, of course, what, Tom has seven Super Bowls under his belt. This would be Mahomes' fourth? Regardless, there's people that genuinely believe that if Patrick Mahomes gets this three-peat, this year he will automatically surpass Tom Brady as the greatest quarterback of all time. I have some feelings about it. Matt, you're shaking your head. What do you think of that?
For if you look at Tom Brady, he did it for 20. If talk to me in 10 years, come talk to me in 10 years. If he keeps doing this and keeps putting up these numbers, the Super Bowls are great and all. I know that's what we want. We all want rings or whatnot. If he's got 6 rings and it's like LeBron Michael type talk, I'm all for it. But like Tom Brady, he literally wrote the textbook for a pocket pass quarterback. Preparation like nobody else. Maybe him and Peyton Manning are the only two I could possibly think of that are known to be that, just able to read a defense. It's just, you can't. I wouldn't even put him top. He's top 5 all time, maybe right now. There's several other, like with the regular season, there's so many different quarterbacks that have done it so consistently year in and year out. 4,000 plus yards, 40 touchdowns. It's great. I hope he gets a three-peat. That definitely puts him on a different plateau and steps him up to where it's kind of like, well, nobody else did it. Like, to say that you did something that Tom Brady didn't do with Super Bowls is pretty wild, I would say, because that dude's done everything that a Super Bowl can and cannot do. But yeah, I got to see more of it. I got to see more of him doing it in the regular season. Come to me in 10 years. If it's the same stuff, if you can copy and paste his first 6-7 years, what is it, 7 years right now? You can copy and paste that and put it underneath for the next 7 years, then we can talk. Maybe a couple more Super Bowls, but right now, it's not an automatic. You can argue, but it's not automatic. Those people are delusional.
Hold on, because we're 29 years old with 3 Super Bowl wins. You talk to me in 10 years. You'd be 39, and even if we replicate this, let's say he wins this weekend. We got 4. We're not even 30 yet. We have 4 Super Bowls at 30. It's really I get what you're saying. Brady is this is going to sound like a slander, and I Brady is a product of, and I know everybody was going to jump on and say, he went to Tampa Bay. He won in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay was a team ripping and ready to go. Like, Tampa Bay was a quarterback away from a Super Bowl. I think, honestly, like, when you look at it, like, the Chiefs were a decent team with Alex Smith. But Pat came in and made the Chiefs the Chiefs. They built and worked around Pat. They, in a very similar manner that the Patriots did around Tom, bringing in all these loose ends, your Chad Ochocincos, your Randy Mosses, you know, and then the Chiefs are out here bringing in Juju Smith-Schuster and DeAndre Hopkins, and you're adding all these almost like neglected superstars onto this team to create this land of misfit toys. At the end of the day, man, we very well may be looking at Pat Mahomes with not 6, not 7, not 8. We may be looking at Pat Mahomes with the shit with Jordan, with rings, boys, with rings. So it's tough. And yeah, I think in today's day and age where you have to be the active quarterback, like you can give Pat a little bit more credit than what you could have given Tom, I guess, in some of his prime.
Yeah, I mean, long way to go for Patrick Mahomes. Just, I mean, strictly games alone. Tom Brady, that's crazy. Almost exactly 3 times as many games played as Patrick Mahomes so far in his career. Of course, you know, with age, I expect, you know, Pat will slow down a little bit. But, you know, obviously, so stats like touchdowns, interceptions, that's going to be lower. But a slightly better completion percentage, slightly better average pass yards. And the big one is that the higher average passing yards per game, I think that, if nothing else, really puts him on track to pass a lot of Tom Brady's milestones. But there aren't very many quarterbacks that have the longevity of Tom Brady to play at a high level. And I think that's going to be the biggest question. I know, obviously, the league is trending towards player safety and especially protecting their quarterbacks. So it stands to reason that if Pat Mahomes stays in good shape, which I fully expect he will, he seems like a consummate professional, then he could play for that long. But it also comes down to how badly does he want it? I mean, Tom Brady lived, breathed, and ate football. That is all that dude thought about. I mean, he literally got a divorce from his wife so he could continue to play football. I mean, I don't know if Brittany Mahomes would let that happen. I'm really just not so sure. I don't know.
Chris going for the jugular, man.
It's true, though.
It was a great point.
Dude, it's very true.
I don't think she would let him either. I think I love that Chris pulled up the stats here. At the end of the day, you know, Pat still has a way to go. But I don't think it's just about the stats, right? I think it's about the mentality. Patrick Mahomes is well on his way to being within the conversation. If he does something that no other quarterback in the history of the NFL has done, you have to start considering him within those conversations, gentlemen. That's just how it is, right? Tom Brady has 7 rings. I think the other conversation that Tallman had brought up as well, you know, if they do win another one, is Andy Reid considered one of those best coaches of all time? You could talk about that conversation between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. A lot of people question, well, was it Tom Brady who had the success or was it Bill Belichick? I think Bill Belichick just recently kind of put it to bed. Players win championships. And Tom Brady went and won another one with another ex-Arizona Cardinals guy in Bruce Arians. But Patrick Mahomes is well on his way, gentlemen. His mentality, his leadership, all of the qualities that it takes to be an all-time great, he is well on his way. That's really all I can say about it, man. It's just scary to think, and, you know, if you're somebody like Josh Allen, he really is just coming into his prime right now. So there are plenty of years where we're still going to be having these conversations, and Patrick Mahomes keeps filling up the stat sheet.
And I think another interesting angle that I just kind of thought about is Tom Brady did the majority of his winning and his success, like a large majority, on the Patriots with Bill Belichick. Matt, you kind of mentioned he's a product of the system in that way. But Patrick Mahomes, I feel like the last 2-3 seasons, every time we get to this point, it's, is Andy Reid going to retire? Is Travis Kelce going to retire? What happens when Andy Reid retires? Now, if that's in 2-3 years, if that's in 5 years, Pat Mahomes is still going to have a good chunk of his career left ahead of him, potentially, to have to see what he does. Does he stay with the Chiefs or does he go to another organization? Obviously, for a player to stay on one team for their entire career in the NFL is exceedingly rare. You don't see it too often. So it's a lot. A lot could happen between now and then, but I think he is really well on his way. And love him or hate him, you know, Patrick Mahomes is one of those polarizing figures where if he's on your team, you absolutely love him and you'll defend him to the death of you. If the Chiefs aren't your team, you fucking hate the guy. And you know, personally, like, Pat Mahomes seems like a decent guy, but some of the stuff I've seen where he did the flop out of bounds, kind of how he, you know, there's just little things that he does on the field where I'm like, okay, dude, like, come on. But
competitors compete, Chris.
Hey, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Who said that? Was that Belichick?
That I have one thing before me, because I know we're gonna move on here. Yeah. If he doesn't win Sunday and you look at those numbers, would you still consider him a Hall of Famer? Like, if he were to retire, say in a crazy delusional world, they lose Sunday with just those numbers that you see right there, and he retires Sunday for some fucking psycho reason, never going to happen. Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer with those numbers, those Super Bowls, those Super Bowl MVPs? That's I looking at, dude, I would say yes. Yeah, I would say
without a doubt.
No, absolutely.
So I would say, hold on a second. I would say even if they didn't win last year, he would be a first ballot Hall of Famer. That's just where his career has been so far in the NFL, man.
He's crazy.
Setting a precedence right now.
Yeah, and Nico touched on it, pre-30 to do these things. It's absurd. So what if he does play another 14 years and he has fucking the Michael Jordan picture? Like, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. Like, I have no idea. Like, I will, yeah, in a video game.
In Minecraft, you will do crazy things. Yeah, I mean, obviously, this is one of those things that time will tell, and it's fun to speculate on. But I mean, man, I mean, we already thinking about some storylines. Of course, there's the obvious one, the Super Bowl rematch. I think we kind of touched on that a little bit. This is one not so football related that I think is very important to touch on, because I think I might be counter to the popular opinion on this one. Guys, it's the Super Bowl halftime show. You know who it is. It's Kendrick Lamar. He's going to be doing Not Like Us 4 times in a row, and that's going to be the entire halftime show. He just won 3 Grammys for a diss track that isn't even that good.
5, Chris.
5?
He just won 5. Get it right. You're not like him, apparently.
Is that the most overrated song of all time? Just asking.
For a 1,000%. Yeah, no. Yes. 100%.
That song sucks.
This whole thing is such a fucking disservice to Lil Wayne. And do not get me fucking started, but I'm going to stand on this fucking soapbox and I'm going to sing to the heavens. This is in this man's city. It's time to give him his flowers. We're all of the age where, like, the artists that we listened to growing up should be getting these flowers. Like, how fucking dare you? How fucking dare you take this from Lil Wayne in New Orleans? You know, for whatever reason, Wayne's always had, like, weird relationships with, like, the NBA and the NFL. Like, there was a time where, like, he couldn't sit courtside at NBA games. I don't fucking know what this is, but, like, to give it to Kendrick Lamar, who essentially were just, for lack of a better term, milking the younger generation to do this, like, for, and like Chris said, for a dude who like created a diss track that got played ad nauseum on the fucking radio and honestly hasn't put out a fucking good album since Damn, as far as I'm concerned.
There, like, it is.
Like, let's fucking pump the brakes. And let's give it to a goddamn legend who can fill out the set with more than 4 fucking songs. All right, I'm done. I gotta go.
He looks like Kyler Murray in that picture.
That'll like, be one.
He's
of
probably them. About the same height as Kyler Murray too.
So. Yeah, no, dude. Oh man, bring back rap beefs where people get shot and killed. Rest in peace, Tupac and Biggie. I'm kidding. No, in video games only. New Grand Theft Auto is coming out. I'm super excited. No, dude, I could care less for this. If it's going to be the same thing, like, I like Drake. I don't care. I don't give a fuck, dude. People forgot Drake carried us through like 4 summers with bangers, absolute bangers. There's literally 20 fucking make Drake play the halftime show and have Lil Wayne come out with him. Do a whole Young Money set. Ah, man. And it's like, who's playing with him? I saw it was some chick that SZA.
Yeah.
Who? What is that? What's a SZA?
I'm nothing that should be on YouTube. It's very not. Yeah, dude. God, it's just. Yeah, I'm not. I could care less. It's one of those ones where I'm not very excited for it. Like, it's gonna be. What's he gonna play that song? Like you said, 4 times. Like, cool, dude. I heard it 80,000 times on the radio. Like,
and there's precedent for it because Kendrick did some type of show in like LA or Compton or something earlier this year or last year, I guess we're in 2025 now, in 2024, where he legitimately played it like 3, 4, 5 times in a row. And I don't know what's going on between the ears of these people that are just, they not like us. They not like us. They like, why did they? And then the P word line where he makes some very heavy accusations of Drake. People love that line too. It's like, y'all got to get a grip and listen to some real music, I swear to God.
Which is crazy that people attach themselves to the most fucking fictional part of the song, like the most over exaggerated fictional fucking part of the rap beef. Like, man, just take me back to when like Drake and Meek Mill were going at it and it was like, that's your girl's tour, that's not your tour. Like, that's a bar. Like, don't miss me with all this fucking, this mammy-pammy weak shit. I hate this shit.
Did you guys see Drake come out in the smoking hoodie like he just got shot? So, Matt, to a certain extent, the shootings are coming back into hip-hop.
The
metaphorical shooting.
When I said that, I just, I mean, like, the real, like,
wow.
Real, that's fucking,
yeah.
This is why we live in a simulation, boys.
This is legendary.
We live in a simulation.
Like, awesome.
That's pretty cold, though. That's pretty cold.
And that's go hard. No, it goes cool. Hard. Like, he's smart, dude. Drake's a fuck. Look how many. That's recent. Like this is
this week.
I think
look
this
how
was
many fucking
yesterday.
People are there.
Yeah, I think this was so yesterday.
Like, Is that somebody, was somebody spraying a can at the beginning? What the fuck was that? Somebody dude, I don't know, man. It's good. I guess it's good for the industry. I'm really curious to see if Drake's just like silently laying some crazy shit together. Or,
is it good for the industry?
No, it's not.
Is it for us to sit here and go, they not like us, they not like us? Brother, I could have been a rapper. Like, for the love of Christ, I tried so hard to rhyme words that were not the same, only for 15 years later, everybody to be rhyming the same goddamn words. It's ridiculous. Oh, it drives me nuts.
Ladies and gentlemen, Valley Sports Plug has officially become a hip-hop podcast, so make sure you stay tuned to keep up with the latest. No, I think the funniest thing was Chris texted me the night after the Grammys when Kendrick won, and he basically said, remind me to do anything else during halftime. I don't know. It's one of those situations where something has been so overplayed, it loses its luster, right? So I'm not excited. I don't really care who he's going to be pulling out. I know Bree loves SZA, so we're going to be watching it no matter what. But Tallman, ask Ashley who SZA is.
I don't know what knows who that is.
My daughter knows who she is.
She's the one who might kill her ex. That's all I know.
Did you see what Kendrick wore at the Grammys though?
Did you guys catch all denim?
Do you know what all denim is?
The Canadian tuxedo.
The Canadian tuxedo. That's what it's called.
Whoa.
You guys sure? The more and more we talk about it, sure you don't like this more? Because
I mean, it's good toilet reading material, Mike. Like it makes for a good like 3-minute reel. Yeah. They're good.
You know, as fake and manufactured as the industry is these days, it would not shock me one bit if Drake and Kendrick are homies and they stirred all this shit up just to sell records, sell tours. I mean, Kendrick basically had disappeared for nearly a decade and after Damn was in like Africa doing like missions and shit. And then he comes back and all of a sudden him and Drake start this beef and he releases another mediocre album. And now he's all the talk of the town again. I mean, it's just, it's hard for me to believe that any of this is genuine on either side.
No, none of it is genuine, and I can't wait for Kendrick to fly his sweet little 4-foot ass out to fucking New Orleans and bastardize the fucking Mardi Gras city with his West Coast style, where we're gonna be crip walking on the 50-yard. Oh my god!
Well, maybe he'll hit up Bourbon Street. He'll have his phone stolen. His Venmo account will be drained. I mean, I hear that happens out there.
He won't be able to
hear a lot of things. iCloud account. There.
Yeah, you won't have a phone for a few days.
All the bad things are being wished upon Kendrick.
He'll have to use Cash App. I mean, he probably already uses Cash App. I don't know. Thank you for indulging me, guys. I had to get that off of my chest because, like Mike said, I was so bothered by it. I even had to text him on the side, and it's just been eating away at me. So to have you guys, I think we're at a consensus here. It's very vindicating in a way, but. Moving right along, we're about an hour into this, so don't want to go on too much longer, but a few more things to touch on. Of course, I failed to mention it at the top, but guys, we can't talk about the Super Bowl without making our predictions. We'll go one by one. We'll make our predictions. Last year, I don't remember what happened, actually. I nailed that the Chiefs would win the Super Bowl before the season. Mike and I had preseason said it would be the Ravens. Clearly, that didn't come to fruition, but we got some odds here, courtesy of the various sports books, and it looks like it's just a fucking toss up, man. Like maybe a little bit of Chiefs favoritism just based off them coming off two straight, but -117 is not so generous. +105 on FanDuel for the Eagles. I mean, a 1-point spread, 1.5-point spread isn't very much. So, I mean, is it even really worth it to try and bet any of these, you know, spread or money line bets?
I think
if you're Cody, yes.
Oh, fuck yeah. You.
Tell us the truth, Cody. Or Tallman.
I think the who's biggest Cody? Thing is like, you got to look at the Chiefs have been ass against the spread, but, like, the spread is 1.5. So, like, it don't matter what either way you bet on the spread. This whole thing, if you're going to bet, you're going to bet, like, prop bets. You're going to bet DeAndre Hopkins to have 25 yards receiving. You're going to bet, you know, Kareem Hunt to get into the end zone. Your surefire bet is Saquon Barkley anytime scorer. That's pretty much set in stone. You can believe that they're going to continue to feed him.
What about Jalen Hurts anytime scorer, Nico?
Jalen Hurts anytime scorer was where I was going next. That's probably your best anytime scorer. I also think whatever the punts are that they have the line for punts per game, you take the under on this one because I don't think there's going to be a lot of punting in the football. I think that we're going to see – I think we're going to kind of see just a shootout. Like, I think it's – I think that's probably your little gem in the rough is, like, if it's under – over under 6 punts, you go under, I think, without a doubt.
Yeah, going back to the whole money line thing, you're only betting that money line if you're putting 5-10 grand on it, right? You're not going to put a $10 bet on that. But with the spread, though, this is where you pick those alternate spreads, right? If you're like with the Eagles, I know we're getting to the predictions. I think the Eagles are going to win. I think they might win by a touchdown, right? So you go -6.5, an alternate spread on the Eagles, and then you put some cash on that. That would be the move. And then I don't know if anyone's got it pulled up. I can try here. But the odds for Saquon to score a touchdown are probably so bad. It's probably like -260 or some shit.
Yeah, you got to parlay it with like Hurts or something.
So -190 on FanDuel.
Oh, okay. All right.
I do want to get into some of the props a little bit because there are some fun ones that are kind of jumping out to me. I don't know if it's just me, Tallman, Nico. I think you guys can let me know if you share the similar thought. But I have this weird superstitious thing about me where if I share my bets before a game starts, then it's automatically gonna lose. But I'm gonna break that here because I like Saquon to score 2 touchdowns in this game. And I don't think that is too crazy. I mean, you guys, +280 isn't crazy, but that nearly triples your bet. Do you like 2 touchdowns more than 1, or does that kind of scare you a little bit?
It's very likely to happen. I mean, there's a reason why the list of players here, players who score 2 touchdowns, Saquon's only +280, and everybody else jumps right up over double that to Hurts, and then it might happen. Shit, that might happen in the first half. It happened in the first quarter of the NFC Championship game. So I think it's a solid bet.
I think it's also likely, like, that +550 for Jalen Hurts to have 2. How many times have we seen the Eagles get in goal line and tush push multiple times during the game? +550 for 2 Jalen Hurts touchdowns is tantalizing.
I'd throw 25 on both. I agree with Nico. Yeah, you know how many times we watch that stupid fucking play? You could even say, oh, gee, Jesus Christ, that happened. That'd be wild.
Oh, I'm sorry I showed this to Matt. Oh,
you should have done that 2 weeks ago.
No, for real.
No kidding.
But, no, like, I think the Saquon having 2+ for sure. I think that Jalen Hurts is, like, it's very plausible. Like, that can easily happen. But, man, that'd be sick. Fucking 25. Throw, like, a hundo on that. Not tell anybody.
Wait, Chris, you got to show us some of the other crazy props, though. Like, what are they looking at?
What
for
color is
Gatorade
the Gatorade? Yeah, what color is the Gatorade? Yeah, Chris, Jesus, I can't.
Let's
put it on
see.
That
they gotta have. So there's. I don't know if like they really do that on like
FanDuel didn't hit them until like the day of the game last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were like missing some like. Some like other sites had like Taylor Swift appearances over under. FanDuel wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. But yeah, the Gatorade color, at least on FanDuel, didn't pop up until the day of the game.
This I should just go to the DraftKings website, but this is a screenshot I took earlier where I don't know why FanDuel felt the need to do this, but they gave all these bets little cutesy names, which I think is really weird. So we got the Swifty specials. I'm assuming those are all like Chiefs really, but they're not. So I don't get it. Maybe there's something missing here, perhaps. But 15, Patrick Mahomes to have 15 plus rushing yards and 215 passing yards. Kansas City Chiefs to lead by 14 plus. I mean, they get progressively worse. I mean, Saquon to score one receiving touchdown and one rushing touchdown. I mean, they're just believable enough to entice you to bet on them. But I guess I do have a list of some of these similar types of bets on FanDuel that I want to look at. But just looking at this list that you guys are kind of perusing, are there any that, and of course, we're not making betting suggestions. We're just talking about what we would do. We're not telling you guys to do anything. We don't give financial advice at Valley Sports Plug. But are there any of these that you might be inclined to throw a couple bucks on?
Yes, 100%. Well, yeah, Christian, sure. you realize that this is called the Swiftie Special. So basically all of this is named off of like songs of Taylor Swift or things like friendship bracelets. Like yo, that's a big thing at their concerts.
I see it now. I think she has a song called Friendship Bracelets.
She has Look What She Made Me Do. Oh, dude, that's stuck in
22.
My head.
What a good pull, Mike.
Shake It Off. There you go.
The a man one of culture. That
the one that jumped out to me, gentlemen, was the two is better than one. Two or more successful two-point conversions in the game. We know that the Philadelphia Eagles like to go for two a lot. And if they get a couple of those, or at least they get one, then we're talking about situations where if it's a close game, especially coming down towards the end, Chiefs are probably going to have to follow suit. So, hey, that one jumped out at me right off the bat.
That's a good eye. I like the mine. Travis Kelce to have 87 receiving yards and score a tutty. I think because win or lose, I think that very well could be his stat line. The friendship bracelet one is wild, though.
Don't touch that one with
the football. That's wild, for sure. Bro. That's wild.
So that's Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco to combine for 3+ touchdowns. Yeah, that's basically DraftKings just stealing your money at that point. I mean. So they do these ones where they know there's little to zero chance, but there's still a chance, so they can put odds on it. I mean, we saw earlier in the NBA season when the Cleveland Cavaliers won like what 20 straight to start the season or whatever, FanDuel actually put up a line for the Cavaliers to go 82-0, which has never been done before and will never be done ever in the history of the NBA. And people probably put money on that, so they're literally just stealing your money at that point. And that's very similar in a lot of ways to what that friendship bracelet is. I mean, it's funny because I'll let you go in a sec, Tom, but you also have the inverse of it where a year or two ago we saw there was a boosted bet on FanDuel for Justin Herbert to throw two passing touchdowns, which he had done like every single game throughout the season so far. Everybody put money on that. I think they made millions and millions of dollars because he only threw one touchdown in that game. So that's why it's called gambling, boys. Yeah, you know. You risk it for the biscuit. But what do you got, Tyler?
Yeah, I mean, I remember you being very hurt emotionally from that Herbert bet. I had to go to the shady site, Bovada, and I got the fun props here, but I can only read it. I can't show it on the screen.
You don't know.
But you don't got present button.
Bro, they're going to steal your credit card.
Well, I've had this for like 7 years and they haven't yet. I have two computers, so I'm looking at it on a different computer.
Wow, look at this
guy.
I know,
but they have the national anthem, how long it'll take John Bastien to sing the national anthem, over 120 seconds or under 120 seconds. They have the color of the Gatorade on here too. Blue at +525, orange at +450, lime green yellow at +225, red at +800, purple at +125. Has it been purple a lot? That's crazy. And then for it to be clear water, +1000. No liquid to be poured on winning coaches, +1800. I don't know.
I'd do that one.
The no liquid.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I gotta pour shit. Jesus, that's so right.
There you go. Stuff
and Andy Reid is done with getting.
Yeah.
Soaked. He's telling
that's the only way you take that. Uh-huh.
Man, do you know how hard it is for him to shower as is, and you fucking pour Gatorade all over the poor guy?
Yeah, dude. You gotta lift folds.
Get up. He's like a steel. You know, he's just like when you go to like a zoo where they have the seals outside. He just gets hosed off.
I love my boy Jesus being minus 250 for first mention in the on-field speech.
Well, it is.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, are you going to say what I said? If Patrick Mahomes wins,
yes, that's it. He did that last weekend. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Or 2 weekends ago. The first thing he said was Jesus.
Dude, I think athletes have a different kind of relationship with Jesus than the rest of us, because anytime any player gets interviewed, it always starts with, first of all, I'd love to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I think that's an automatic bet for sure. That, and if you think the Chiefs are going to win, man, it's probably it's an easy bet to go with the no liquid. Andy's done raking that out of the mustache.
I mean, fuck, guys. If I got to play sports for a living, I'd be thanking every god there is that I get to do that, and I don't have to go sit in a desk for 8 hours a day clacking away on a computer. But that's just me. I know it makes sense. Like, obviously, Pat Mahomes, a lot of those guys are very religious, or pretend to be. And, you know, gotta give glory to God. But yeah, it's very, very interesting. America the Beautiful, who will be shown first? Is that just like at all during the broadcast?
Yeah, they'll show Pat Mahomes first. You know, when they like pan over and they like crying or some shit on the sideline. Because they sing American the Beautiful before the national anthem.
Oh, and like the guys who like crying.
Yeah,
on the
yeah, 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 yeah. So yeah, it's like yeah, the yeah. No Sean Moreno where he has like the raindrop tear.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, well, we got to get off this sketchy website before I get some viruses or whatever, right, Tallman?
No, dude. Hey, it's actually
yeah, blame very it on safe. The website, Chris. That
it's
website.
Off. It's offshore. I'm sure it's not very legal and regulated, but
I've used it. It works.
Yeah, no, it definitely works.
As far as sketchy betting websites go, it's probably on the lesser end of that. I mean, it's not like Five Dimes or anything like that. And I mean, hey, if BetMGM or FanDuel or DraftKings wants to sponsor us, we will never talk about any of these other sports books ever again. Just saying. But there is, I did want to look at one last group of bets because we were kind of looking at those fun ones from the, whatchamacallit. Oh, this isn't, let me pull up the graphic I had before, actually. I'm sorry. Just some fun little prop bets that are also enticing. I think more enticing a little bit than, some of those DraftKings ones. Odds are kind of all over the place. I know, Tallman, I don't know if it's listed here, but one of your favorite bets throughout this season was one touchdown and one field goal for each team in each half. Is that a bet that you are considering for the Super Bowl?
So that is my favorite bet for the playoffs. I did it a couple times. It did hit with that Tampa Bay game. I'm definitely going to do it for this one. And if you guys remember Super Bowl 57, where I did this same bet, and I forgot, was it Butker that he missed the field goal right at the end of the first half? And if he would have made that, I would have hit, that bet would have hit on that game. So I'm feeling it. Whenever you have two good offenses and you're expecting a high-scoring game, this is the rematch. It's going to be high-scoring. This is a good bet to put in. And you can always tell by the line that they set. Because if you have two really good defenses going up against each other, that line's usually like plus 2,300, plus 2,400. But when they think, they being Vegas, thinks that's going to be high scoring, you'll see that number right about, you know, plus 1,100, plus 1,200. I think when I looked at it a couple of days ago, it was plus 1,300. Is it on the screen? It's really small.
It's not. I was trying
that's to not okay. It real quick. Yeah, no, that's one of my favorite ones, and that's going to be a very interesting one for this Sunday.
Sorry, I didn't realize you didn't grab your readers, Tom, and made that a little bit.
Thanks
for you, man. There. Hopefully that helps.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll try and find those odds real quick. But yeah, I mean, like, there's some. I don't like to do defensive bets, but would anyone take either team to record 7+ sacks? It seems like a lot.
Tough against these teams. That's tough when you have somebody that can move like Jalen Hurts and Pat Mahomes can kind of move, and he has the pocket presence in mind. Yeah, that's nobody's getting that. That's a crazy one.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Both of these quarterbacks, even when they're under duress, find a way to make the right decision and get the ball out of their hands. I wouldn't touch 7+ sacks at all. I would touch any offensive lineman to score a touchdown. I don't know. I was
just going to say that.
Yep. Maybe we have the second coming of the Philly special, but this time, you know, Lane Johnson somehow finds his way in the back of the end zone. That would be a fun little $5 one to throw something on.
I like any non-QB to record a passing touchdown. I don't know why. I feel like that's – they have, like, Travis Kelce throw a fucking touchdown or something stupid.
Dude, Saquon Barkley to score a touchdown with his first rush attempt. That's a fun dollar bet because –
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, that one can cash real easy.
Yeah, and I think that's always fun. I mean, especially when the odds are so great. I mean, what, $1 gets you $50 if either team records 7 sacks? This is going back to what I'm talking about, like where they know it's a very, very low likelihood that a lot of these are going to hit. I mean, looking at the Super Bowl record, any player to record 506, what is that, passing yards? Is this absolutely, absolutely insane? I mean, especially the way Philly puts the ball on the ground, there's no way it's going to be Jalen Hurts. So your next best bet is Patrick Mahomes. And he doesn't really have, I mean, I got to pump the brakes. I was going to say he doesn't really have any like generational receiving talent, but he does have Patrick Mahomes and DeAndre Hopkins. Xavier Worthy's coming into his own, definitely not considering him generational talent, but what is it? Jesus, why did I forget his name? DeAndre Hopkins and Travis Kelce are, as Tallman would say, past their prime. They aren't the same player they used to be. So the likelihood of Pat Mahomes putting up 500-plus passing yards, I think, is absolutely absurd. I apologize, Tallman. I couldn't find the
No, I got it.
Oh, you do? Okay.
It's plus 1,400. So on FanDuel, it's under game specials, the popular one. So that's, I don't know. I'm going to be betting on that for sure. I do have the fun Taylor Swift bets on the sketchy website. Do you want me to read them real fast before we move on?
Oh yeah, let's.
Okay,
let's
so the first one here is Taylor Swift to announce pregnancy during or after Super Bowl.
Yo.
Yes, plus 1,600. No is minus 15,000. And then here's the one: Travis Kelce to propose to Taylor Swift after the Super Bowl. Yes is plus 800. Pregnancy one's a little.
The pregnancy one's a fun whack, like Nico that like is to say, a dollar bet. That's a good dollar bet. But like fuck it, throw five on it. Actually,
there's no shot that Travis Kelce asked Taylor Swift to marry him after the game. You know it's going to be some crazy like on a yacht in the Maldives, away from cameras, but they're going to have. Got their own private photographer and it'll be a big hoopla. He ain't gonna do it at the Super Bowl. So don't waste your money, folks.
I don't know, man. Travis Kelce strikes me as the type of guy that would pull the ring box out of his jock strap, get down on one knee and just let it rip. He might let it fly, bro. This could be Boise State and Oklahoma all over again.
Yeah, I think it's possible, but at the same time, I agree with Mike. I think he would do it. I don't know if Taylor Swift would really appreciate that. I think she would want it to be a more romantic, intimate thing. Not quite like how Mr. Beast proposed. I don't know if anyone saw that in his pajamas in the living room.
Some autism in that fucking proposal right there, boys.
Quite a bit. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, that's hilarious. So yeah, I wish I had looked a little bit on Tallman on that sketchy website. Do you see any props for the halftime show? How many times Kendrick's going to perform? Oh, yeah. Not Like Us.
There's a bunch, but there's nothing for him to repeat a song though, unfortunately.
Dang.
There's how many diss tracks will Kendrick Lamar sing about Drake? And you can bet all the way up to 4+. Yeah, what is it? Will any performer have a wardrobe malfunction during the set? It's always a fun one. Yeah.
I don't want to see a Kendrick Lamar wardrobe malfunction. Thank you very much.
What about
what's SZA? Yeah, what's SZA look like? SZA. Let's see this. Look.
Well, is there a prop for
SZA could have a malfunction?
Is there a prop for Kendrick actually saying the P word on national television?
What's the P word?
The PDF file word.
Oh,
yes, that word, Tolman.
Yeah,
The only wardrobe malfunction that Kendrick Lamar is going to have is if he's wearing Nike Shocks, the air bubble will pop. That'll be it. Because you know he's going to be wearing something to, you know, boost him up there.
Yeah. Gentlemen. And then they'll void the bet because they'll say it was on purpose or some shit. But I don't know. It's fun to think about these props. I would love to see – I'm assigning homework here. I'd love to see some Tallman tickets. Love to see a Nico's nice net. Maybe we'll get some Chris's cash-ins. I don't know. We'll make sure you keep an eye out on the social medias. Those go up on YouTube Shorts and TikTok. We don't put those on the podcast streaming platforms. I don't think anyone wants to listen to a 90-second snippet of bets. But if you do, let us know in the comments, and maybe we'll bring that to you. But, guys, hour 20 in. Let's go ahead and wrap this up and make our Super Bowl 59 predictions. Michael Benjamin is chomping at the bit to share with you. So, Mike, you got the floor, man. Who you got?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of year once again. The Super Bowl predictions. I did go first last year, and I was correct. Didn't get the score, though. It's always hard to get the score. But, guys, right now, what, KC on ESPN, they have them at -1.5. But the matchup predictor is in favor of the Eagles at 56.1%. So I'm not really sure how that works. But just a couple of things. You know, if Kansas City's rushing attack struggles, they're going to have to get creative and get guys like Xavier Worthy involved, like either through gadget plays or screens. You know, the big thing I'm looking for is what do Hollywood Brown and DeAndre Hopkins do as far as making an impact? I love the young corner in Trent McDuffie. Pro Football Focus actually rated him as the second best corner this year. And you know Chris Jones is going to wreak havoc on the line. But if the Philadelphia Eagles are wanting to stay in this game, guys like Josh Sweat and Jalen Carter are going to have to help contain Mahomes and make him uncomfortable all night long, because we just know how much of a threat he is to make plays and just pull the Houdini act, right? I think you guys touched on it too. I do like the outsides for the Eagles. You got the young rookies, Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. But, you know, what is Kellen Moore going to be able to cook up from an offensive standpoint? Because you know Kansas City is going to be focused on the run. They did finish second in the regular season in rushing offense. And they've only turned the ball over 4 times in the last 11 games. But that's all the stats I got for you guys. And I'm at this point, I cannot go against the Kansas City Chiefs until they prove me wrong, because I've had to live with that for the past 2 years. Last year, I didn't. I made the right choice. This year, once again, I'm doing the same thing. Kansas City will win. 4th in 6 years, the three-peat, the dynasty is cemented. And I'm going with 34-30 in Super Bowl 59. The Kansas City Chiefs take it once again.
All right, well, I am going to sing a different song here. Mike, you mentioned containing Patrick Mahomes. The Eagles activated Brandon Graham for practice this week, coming off of a tricep tear week 12, I believe. Or tricep injury, excuse me. Him being activated, if he plays, the Eagles have a not significantly better chance, but a better chance of beating the Chiefs. I think at the end of the day, it's hard to bet against Pat Mahomes. I think you hit it on the head, Mike. Like, how many years have we said it's not the Chiefs, and now the Chiefs have fucking 3 Super Bowls. I'm going to stand on that mountain. It's not the Chiefs. I think it's going to be the Eagles. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a 3-point game. I think it's going to be 40-37 Eagles. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair, and I think it's going to come down to a field goal kick, whether that is missed or not missed or what. It's going to come down to a field goal kick. This game is going to be pins and needles, everything except the halftime show. I'm going Eagles 40-37.
40-37 has to be a score, Gami. For anything, I'd just love to see that.
Yeah, I mean that would be kind of crazy. And I love the prospect of a high scoring game. Mr. T Jr. seems like you're hard in contemplation over there.
It
it's hard to get like to bet against Pat Mahomes. It really is. And I know I'm going to eat crow saying this, but I can't pick him this year. I can't with the decline in the Chiefs, the Travis Kelce is definitely showing his age, the running back Kareem Hunt, you have Pacheco a little bit here and there. I know their defense is decent with Chris Jones, but man, the Eagles are just a powerhouse on offense, dude. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Saquon Barkley is going to run house. Jalen Hurts, like it's just Dallas Goedert's pretty good too. Like it's just they have a lot of different tools to use. It's going to be a shootout. Like Nico was saying, like I fully expect it to be one of those crazy games where it's going to be the last 3 minutes. It's whoever has the ball last is winning this game. Like hands down, that's all it's going to come down to. I think it's going to be the Eagles. I think it's going to be, we're going to see some tush push. I think there's going to be some tush push and people are going to talk shit about the tush push, which let me go on record. I don't like the disrespect for the tush push. I think the tush push is a great play. I think if you don't like it, figure out a fucking way to stop it. That's literally what it is. You don't like it. You know, it's coming. Like for me, it's just, it's a beautiful trench warfare. I know Mike's fucking up there, but I think it's going to come down to that where it's going to be, and it's good. I hope that happens. I hope the Chiefs get a little bit of taste of this stupid, like their own medicine where it's like, well, yeah, you guys do some dumb stuff or get kind of lucky or whatever the case is. So I'm going Philadelphia. They'll have the ball last. It'll come down to a last second field goal, 41-38 Philly, Super Bowl over. No three-peat. And that's it.
Did you just say 31 to 48?
I said, what, 38-41.
41 to 38, yeah. All right, another Eagles. I'm going to keep the trend going. I don't have any cool explanation. I'm just going to go with my gut feeling. So here the fuck it is. I got Eagles. Everything that those two gentlemen below me just said, offense is too good. They have one of the best offensive lines in football. Eagles are going to pull this off, 34-31. It's going to be close. It's going to be close, but I think it's the Eagles' turn.
Okay. Well, I mean, Mike, as much as I don't want to leave you standing alone out in the rain, and you could very much just be laughing in all of our faces, but I you guys have made the case. I mean, both of these teams are top 10 defenses, so I think it's possible that this game won't be as high scoring as everyone thinks it will be. But I also almost expect it too, because these are also two very high caliber offenses. But for the reasons laid out, I mean, this Kansas City Chiefs, their pieces are a little bit older. I mean, D-Hop has made some good plays here and there, but overall, he doesn't do too much in the game, where they're having to lean on Juju Smith-Schuster to get a good amount of yards. And that's tough. I mean, I like Juju. I like Hollywood Brown. They on paper, they have a lot of pieces, but it hasn't always translated to the field. Kareem Hunt, again, probably has a lot of wear and tear on him. Might not be a game changer. Isaiah Pacheco is not the same player he was 2 years ago. Ah, man, the Eagles, the way that they run the ball, the weapons they have in the air, the smarts of Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni, I just think it's going to be Eagles. But where I will differ from the rest of these gentlemen is I don't know if the final score is going to be as close as everyone thinks. So I'm going Eagles 35, Chiefs 25. And that's all I got. So those are our predictions for how the game will go. We'll check up on these probably on the next round table once we're all gathered around the Valley Sports Plug table here. But I think it's important that we also, while we're making these predictions, make our prediction on who the Super Bowl MVP will be. And it isn't always a player on the winning team. I know it's kind of rare, but it doesn't have to be a player on the winning team. Keep that in mind. But I guess we'll go in the same order, toss it back up to Michael Benjamin.
Now, before I say this, gentlemen, I am on an island over here. But don't get it twisted. I hope you are correct, because I don't want the Kansas City Chiefs to win again, okay? But at this point, I have to go with my gut, because every single time I've picked against the Chiefs, it just hasn't panned out. With that being said, Patrick Mahomes, I think when it comes down to Super Bowls, he rushes more than his average. I think it was about 7.3 in Super Bowls, probably going to rush for over 50 yards. probably going to throw for over 250 yards, multiple touchdowns, maybe a rushing touchdown. Quarterbacks win it. Patrick Mahomes, Super Bowl MVP. If I'm going with my decision of what I'm doing with picking the Chiefs, and I'm sticking with it, Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, so I think if it's the Chiefs, I think it's Trent McDuffie. I think it's a defensive play that wins the game. I think it's going to be a Dexter Jackson scenario. If it's the Eagles, I think it's got to be Saquon because they're going to run the ball up the gut. Unless Jalen Carter wreaks havoc on Patrick Mahomes all game long, which he could, but like that Chiefs offensive line isn't anything to shake your head at. So my gut tells me if it's the Chiefs, it's McDuffie. If it's the Eagles, it's Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I mean, stole right out of my mouth. Yeah, I think Saquon, if he does anything that he did against Washington and he has any sort of 15-plus carries, 120-plus yards, two touchdowns, I think given the season that he's had and him kind of like them sitting him the last week and him not getting the chance to break the record, I think it's only right that if he does have a game like that and he is like a very pivotal part of how they play, I think you have to give it to Saquon. Like it's it. But if the Chiefs win, I think Mike's right on it. It's going to go to Pat Mahomes. You know, he's going to run for 35, 40 plus yards, throw a couple touchdowns, might get a little sneak in there. So yeah, Chiefs win it, Pat Mahomes. Eagles, I go with Nico. It has to be Saquon.
Oh, fellas, we are just a broken record here. I got to go with Saquon Barkley as well. The high possibility of Barkley stealing the show on Sunday, it's very high in my book. So if the Eagles win, which you guys already know, I think they're going to win, it's going to be Barkley, Super Bowl MVP.
Fellas, I'm not so sure. The Chiefs have been decent at stopping the run. I mentioned top 10 defense in the league this season. And on top of, I think it was Michael Benjamin that mentioned, this MVP award in the Super Bowl tends to favor quarterbacks. Of course, if the Chiefs win, it's going to be Patrick Mahomes. I don't think that's even a question. But if it is the Eagles, if they pull it out, I think there is a strong case for it to be Jalen Hurts. Simply based off what I've seen the past few weeks, if he gets two rushing touchdowns and a passing touchdown or two, if he throws for 200 plus yards, if he rushes for 30, 40, 50 yards, you're going to have a tough case to make that he didn't have a bigger impact on the game than Saquon Barkley did. I think it's a high likelihood that Saquon could be the MVP. He is listed second in the odds right now on FanDuel that we looked at, right behind Patrick Mahomes. But third on that list is Jalen Hurts. And so I'll be the outsider, guys. I'll be the guy going against the grain here. I do think it's going to be Eagles, and I do think that it's going to be Jalen Hurts that wins the MVP. But fellas, that was our big game preview for 2025. Super Bowl Sunday is in 5 days, February 9th, 2025. You know these Valley Sports Plug Boys are going to be watching. We'll be back in a couple weeks to talk about it, wrap up the NFL season, and put a nice bow on top. But before we get out of here, I want to give these gentlemen the floor one last time to share any last thoughts they have on, really anything, but maybe keep it within the game. Let's go with our guest first, Mr. T Jr. We'll start with you and go, around.
I just hope Sunday's not a blowout. That's all I hope for. I hope both teams have fun. I wish everybody could win. No, I hope it's a good game. That's all. I hope it's exciting. I hope it's one of those nail biters where we're all watching it right there at the last second, and it is whoever has the last chance at scoring or the field goal or whatever the case is. So. For me, I hope Sunday is just a good game, not a shit show blowout. And I hope Saquon gets his flowers, man. He deserves it. That dude got the shit end of the staff in New York, and now he's making them pay. So fuck the New York Giants.
Yeah, I'm gonna kind of echo that sentiment. I also want to shout out to the groundskeepers that are fucking working on that Super Bowl, because that shit ain't no easy task, brother. So shout out to those guys, because we're getting prepped for spring training right now, and it's crazy. So I can only imagine putting it together for a Super Bowl. But yeah, I hope Saquon goes off, and I hope Saquon gets MVP purely because they didn't let him play that last game. And he was going to shatter Eric Dickerson's record. And then he was going to shatter Eric Dickerson's dreams. And I was here for every second of it. Because all you O-heads that don't want your fucking records to fall, records are meant to be broken, baby. And Saquon was on the fucking choo-choo tracks to breaking it. So go Birds. You know, I'm going to – birds of a feather flock together. So as a Cardinals fan, I'm going to root. I'm going to root with the winged animal. Go Eagles.
Damn, Nico, you're getting me inspired. I might just pull out the old Philadelphia Eagle Terrell Owens jersey for Sunday. You guys didn't expect that one. But, guys, it's always a pleasure. I'm very, very excited for Sunday. Going to be throwing down some parlays, some special. I just whatever Tallman cooks up is what I'm throwing down. So, Tallman, do me right this year, man. Do me right. No, we're going to have some fun on Sunday. I can't wait for this game. And then I can't wait to talk about it again next week. Appreciate you guys.
Damn, that's a lot of pressure, Michael. Not very nice of you. But, fellas, this is always fun. You know, it's to where we can talk about stuff outside of Arizona sports and exciting stuff rather than being upset the entire time about how shitty we are. But no, always a good time. This week is always a fun week. I know you said stick to the game, but we also have a big event happening in Phoenix, which is one of maybe five or six golf tournaments I go out of my way to watch on TV. So looking forward to that. And yeah, looking forward to not losing money, Mike, right, on Sunday.
That's right. We're gonna win.
We're gonna win.
Nico, you inspired me. I ran over to X and I asked Grok to generate a picture of an eagle and a cardinal shaking hands. So birds of a feather really do flock together. That's going to be Cardinals fans supporting the Eagles on Sunday because, you know, we just don't want to see the Chiefs have that three-peat. And it pains me in my heart to have to root for a Philadelphia sports team, but I'm going to suck it up and do it. And I just want to send out my prayers to the city of Philadelphia. Because win or lose, there's going to be some nonsense in the streets. I hope they got those light poles lubed up. I hope they got their cars in the garage and their insurance policies paid up to date because shit is going to get wild, win or lose. But if they win, so prayers out to Philly. But yeah, looking forward to a good game on Sunday. We'll be right back here next Tuesday with another live stream. Make sure you like and subscribe right here on YouTube where we be streaming. We be streaming, fellas, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. We also put up our recorded, what is that podcast called? Heat Check Podcast. We're going to be recording that this weekend, so be on the lookout for it next week. Matt, we're hour 40 in, brother. I'm getting tired, bro.
You're falling apart. You're pausing. Yeah, you're pausing hard there.
My mouth is working faster than my brain, and that's evident. But we're going to go ahead and get out of here. Make sure you like and subscribe again. Follow us at AZ_VSP across all the social medias, and we'll see you next time. For Michael Benjamin, VSP Tallman, Nico, and Mr. T Jr., I'm Chris Patrick. Peace.